A lot was made of the fact that last Thursday, a week ago, was Fashion Night Out, but that night was also the opening of the art season here in New York, which is, if anything, an equally big deal. So we decided to invite two critics who are very much in the know to tell us more about its significance for our city and what you could look forward to seeing in the upcoming weeks and months. So I am very happy to be joined now by Roberta Smith from the New York Times and Christian Viveros Fawn from the Village Voice. Welcome to our show.
Thank you.
What does the opening of the art season mean? Has it become more significant in recent years than it was in the past?
Do you want to go first, Roberta?
Sure. Well, it's become definitely much more crowded with many, many more galleries opening and Chelsea swelling with crowds. And so, there's a very kind of intense back-to-school feeling.
Well, there are over 500 galleries in New York. How many openings were there last week?
I don't know the exact number, but half it, 250 maybe, easily.
Scores and scores.
Scores and scores. After Labor Day, everybody sort of comes back raring to go, and they generally tend to reserve the best shows, museums and galleries, for the 2 weeks following Labor Day.
Because they see this as opening. That's why the Metropolitan Museum of Art has that major Warhol show as well.
Which Roberta just happened to review this morning.
Are they competing to some degree with the galleries?
Well, it's just your basic academic year in a way. I mean, everybody wants to, there's a lot. It's high season in New York. People are there, and they want to give people stuff to look at. And there's a bit of a lull in the summer, although less than there used to be.
Now, you mentioned the scores of people, especially roam around Chelsea on Thursday nights when the shows open. There was a time not all that long ago. Thursdays and Fridays.
And Saturdays.
Saturdays on the Lower East Side.
There was a time when I remember going to galleries like the Janus Gallery, a prominent gallery, and I might have been the only – I was a kid, but I was the only person in the gallery. This whole thing has changed, hasn't it? Who goes to the galleries these days?
Man, lots and lots of different kinds of people. I should say that the art world has expanded so much that it's just much, much bigger.
And they go from opening to opening? Do they have to be invited?
No. That's the nice thing about galleries. There are all these lists that are circulated by email now, so more and more people have access to them, so you can see all the openings happening in one night. And everything's expanded. I mean, the world's much more populous. Downtown New York is much more concentrated. So, and the interest in art has expanded, so that you see all kinds of people at these out and about.
Can we still say that New York is the art center of the world? Is our art season the most important one, more than London or Berlin?
Well, we have the most galleries, and that concentration of these small businesses sort of putting out what they want people to see, I think, makes it very interesting and democratic. But I don't think that New York is the center in lots of different ways. I mean, there are many more centers now, and business is being done all over the world. You have four major New York galleries opening in London this fall, which I think is a very interesting symptom of kind of decentralization of markets, where they want to go, where they can sell art to people with money, or.
In other words, instead of expecting the people from England to come to New York to buy art, they're opening up galleries there. This is like restaurants, isn't it?
The mountain is going to Muhammad, yeah. But essentially, London and New York are the two biggest markets. And basically, increasingly, art follows the money.
Right now there's a new art fair in Rio, and it's not for nothing. I mean, Brazil has one of the healthier economies in the world at this point.
And Larry Gagosian has gone down with $150 million worth of modern and contemporary work.
In like 4 or 5 years, you could imagine 4 or 5 New York galleries opening in Rio, if not before.
But now you mentioned art fairs. Suddenly we've seen this explosion of art fairs. Are they good for the galleries?
The galleries say no.
Because the galleries have to pay to go in.
Well, galleries have to pay to go, and the galleries feel that detracts from their traffic and from a whole kind of tradition of people coming in and looking more thoughtfully and buying in a slower fashion, and they're sort of it's a much more sort of cash and carry situation.
Some galleries say no. I mean, I was just in a panel yesterday with a couple of gallerists about this particular topic, and Sean Kelly, for example, who tends to do very counterintuitive things at fairs, like put Marina Abramović pieces on that are not for sale. was saying that they're great, and they're great for him, and they're great for his bottom line, and that's clearly the truth for lots and lots of galleries who do well. On the other hand, there was another gallerist there who was basically expressing the kind of opinion that Roberta just expressed. They're not great places to see art. They're lousy places to see art. Artists don't like them, and I think with good reason. I forgot who it was that said it was like watching your parents having sex. But that's essentially the nature of the thing. But they are so...
They're that kinky, eh?
Well, you know, yeah, as a matter of fact, they can be. But it's so... There's so much money out there that, in fact, they have proliferated.
Well, you mentioned Sean Kelly. He's moving to a larger space north of Chelsea into the Clinton area. Is Chelsea running out of space? My sense was it used to be small galleries on 57th Street and up on the side streets along Madison Avenue. And then
that was a long time
ago.
Yeah,
then Soho. Yeah, but then Soho, because bigger spaces. And then Soho wasn't big enough, and people moved to Chelsea. And now Sean Kelly's moving up to Clinton. Are we going to see an expansion outside of Chelsea?
It's an expansion of Chelsea. Yeah, I think
big
that's
space and big art.
Clearly, what's going to happen?
Yeah.
It's going to go further north and probably at some point further south. The Lower East Side has since 2007, when the new museum basically sort of landed over there on the Bowery. I mean that whole thing has exploded.
And there was an explosion in Williamsburg, but that seems to
that's
have
gone.
Abated.
That's a little subsided,
unfortunately.
Yeah.
Although I'm wondering about you mentioned that was long ago, the Upper East Side. I saw a lovely show of Dorothea Rockburn's early work at a rather small gallery on East 73rd Street.
Craig Starr,
the
yeah.
And it reminded me of the old days when all of these galleries like Leo Castelli and Martha Jackson and Janice were up there. I've been told that galleries are returning to these small spaces. Is that because we're having a changing idea about how art should be exhibited?
Well, the great thing about galleries is that it's an incredibly mutable form, and different dealers have different ideas of how they want to what form they want it to take. So they're always fluctuating to some extent. But the Upper East Side is very nice in that way. There are a lot of smaller spaces.
And that's also where the money is, isn't it?
The money will go anywhere at this point.
Yeah.
My guests are Roberta Smith, who writes for The New York Times, Christian Viveros-Fawn, who writes for The Village Voice. We're talking about the opening of the art season here in New York. Some of the Chelsea galleries are the size of small museums, and they've begun doing museum-style shows featuring artists like Monet and Picasso. Or there was the Doug Wheeler Show at David Zwirner last year that was a huge light installation of a museum-type show. Is anything sold at those shows?
Yeah, some of the work actually on display is sold, not much. There's a lot of very – smart galleries do counterintuitive things because essentially that also drives a certain kind of traffic. So the business is probably done for the most part in the back room. The killing floor, as it were.
So they're drawing collectors with a museum-style show and then
absolutely.
Selling their gallery artists in the background.
Well, no, even selling secondary market stuff, say, by Picasso. It may not be the stuff on display, but you can bet your bottom dollar that Gagosian, or in that case, had several Picassos that he could sell.
Even with Monet, I heard there were like a couple for sale. So it doesn't take too many Monets to make a show worthwhile. And these shows reap tremendous benefits just in terms of prestige. And they are picking up a kind of slack that where museums aren't, you know, they're doing shows that museums should be doing and could be doing. Gagosian did a pretty interesting Fontana show last spring. But they are functioning. And some of these, you walk around and look at these big installations like the Thomas Hirshhorn show that opened last night and the Jonah Friedman, Justin Love show that opened at Marlborough, and you just think, what are the budgets for these, you know, and what...
And what do they sell from a show that's an installation? Andy Goldsworthy
sometimes
show, which is all about ephemeral?
Sometimes
ephemeral.
They're selling the whole thing. Sometimes they're selling pieces from it. And then again, there are other related works.
Absolutely. Yeah, no, that's definitely the case. And I'm thinking of a show that's on tonight at Pierogi, which is, I've forgotten this guy's name, it's his first show, but he's basically built out an entire house inside the gallery, the boiler. Well, you know, this time he's going to trash it because I think the idea is essentially he's doing it before the bank sort of seizes it. But yeah, I mean, I imagine that the gallery is going to have stuff to sell. It won't be that, though they may very well sell that piece.
And in the case of somebody like Goldsworthy, the show functions as a kind of advertisement where you sell, you know, site-specific. Well, you for the sale of site-specific works, you know, in your yard or your on your estate or whatever.
Recently, a number of instant stars have come right out of grad schools. Do you follow the work of students in MFA programs?
No.
No, neither do I.
Are you surprised that they're actually – in the past, you had to get – if you went to an art school, you then stayed – you holed up in a studio for a number of years, and then you hoped that some gallery would talk to you. Now they're going into these grad schools and snatching them up, some of them looking to me like they were barely formed artists.
You know, I think that phenomena has been whittled down significantly for obvious reasons, because we're in a different economy now than we were, say, since 2008, I also think
a lot of those there was a phase where there were a lot of like fresh from grad school shows that of artists that sort of disappeared or kind of languished after that. But it's not it always happens all different ways. Don't forget, Frank Stella was barely out of undergraduate school at Princeton when he's in a show at the Museum of Modern Art. So that's in 1959 or 60.
That was exceptional work.
Yeah, that was exceptional work. But it's all, you know. It's not one way or the other.
Well, you mentioned the economic downturn. What has its impact been? Does it affect what people buy? Are they still willing to take risks, or are they going to buy safer things?
I personally think this is a very conservative moment, particularly in New York and in places like London. Wherever the money is, I think it's a particularly conservative moment, even creatively, but certainly sort of in terms of what people are buying. The market is going nuts, but it's going nuts at the upper echelons. The auction houses with pieces that have a lot of zeros,
The secondary market.
That part of it is a secondary market. There's a lot of primary market stuff that sells for $100,000 and up. But in any event, I mean, what I think that does is cast a significant sort of pall over you know the scene, even production, which I find disturbing. I think there are other scenes, for example, in Chicago right this minute that are a lot more livelier and that are responding to the crisis, as it were, in a very immediate way, in the way that New York artists are not.
How important are reviews of gallery shows? Does a good review in the New York Times guarantee that there'll be some sales?
I don't know. I don't follow that kind of thing.
Must tell you, Roberta.
Not really. I mean, it's very hard to see the impact of what you do beyond it. And opinion in the art world is a very complicated, slippery thing, and it's formed by a lot of different people. You know, there is this thing that Greenberg used to call consensus, and I think critics have much less power than they used to.
Well, sometimes the Times Review appears on the Friday before a show closes, which makes it a lot more difficult for people to actually see it. I don't know what
I've heard that complaint.
And artists often wonder what it takes to even get a review. I've had somebody say to me, why that second-rate artist and not me when my current work is just so much better?
Well, I mean, artists always think that they deserve attention over some other artists. That's part of what gives them the nerve to be an artist in the first place.
So tell us what you're really excited about. Are there any shows right now or upcoming shows that you think people should pay attention to? Is it just going to be the superstars?
Well, hopefully not. I mean, there's a Groundhog Day aspect to a lot of the shows that are on. I think the Picasso show coming up at the Guggenheim and the Warhol show that Roberta just reviewed this morning.
That's a kind of greatest hit show.
I think we're sort of living through a conservative moment, and it shows in those particular shows and other things that are sort of coming up. But there's an interesting show on at the Sculpture Center, I think. I think it starts tomorrow. Mm-hmm. That sort of like extends the notion of surrealism out from and the uncanny out to the present. And I think that looks like a really interesting show. There's this there's a much smaller show on in Brooklyn at Moment Art, but it's Occupy. The Occupy group are sort of doing something interesting there. I find it kind of amazing that in a museum city like New York, no one's picked up on that phenomenon. The Occupy phenomenon is actually sort of like artistic practice, or at least something that they could talk about in that respect.
And some artists complain that our museums really don't reflect enough of what's going on in the city at the moment. At any given moment.
Well, I don't think museums take enough risks or are nearly diverse enough in what
Shouldn't
they look.
Shouldn't a museum like the Brooklyn Museum be doing more of that kind of thing?
They're doing one interesting thing, which is the Leopard Show. which is interesting, particularly
a critic and her impact.
Exactly, a critic. And so we get to examine how, you know, criticism is relevant historically and today.
We have very little time, Roberta. What are you looking forward to?
It's hard for me to say. I've just got my nose to the grindstone looking at as much as I can see. I'm perplexed and interested in the Richter Show at Marion Goodman.
Well, when you look at what's on tap, do you just go to people who you know you've already been interested in, or do you try to see people you never heard of?
Both. You just try to see as much as possible. You're running all the time.
Just walk down Chelsea block after block.
Try to cover the
open
waterfront.
The door and say, oops, not this one.
You know what? You have to do that some of the time at least.
My thanks to both of you so much for coming by to talk about what really is an important moment in the art world, although it hasn't got as much attention, I think, as one might expect, the opening of the New York art scene. My guests have been Roberta Smith of the New York Times, Christian Viveros-Fawn of the Village Voice. Thank you both so much for being with us today.
Thank you.
Thank you.